The boy had come to the end of another bad week, and now the girl he adored wanted to know how he was doing. He hated when people thought of him as a troublemaker, one of those kids who frustrated his teachers and disappointed his mother, but more and more often he feared that's how they all felt. He had struggled to keep buried what was inside him, a swirling, combustible blend of emotion that the tiniest spark could ignite. It had started as disbelief, even denial, before turning into grief, and then, at last, this simmering rage that had clung to him for months. It had erupted again a few days prior, so the true answer to the girl's question would have been that he wasn't doing well. But the boy didn't want her to know the truth. "Good?" Tyshawn McFadder, age 9, told her instead, as he stared through the screen of his mother's cell phone at Ava Olson, age 8. It was, for late spring, an unusually brisk afternoon in his neighborhood, just 15 minutes from the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Dressed in black sweatpants and a gray hoodie pulled low over his head, Tyshawn stood barefoot as he slumped over the side of an armchair in his mother's modest living room, the cell phone in one hand and a chocolate chip granola bar in the other. Ava, who was 520 miles away in South Carolina that afternoon, told him her week had been hard. "Why?" he asked.
"I've just been mad and sad and stuff," said Ava, her hair honey blonde, brown eyes serious, and accent tinged with the South.
She wore a blue t-shirt and pink SpongeBob SquarePants bottoms as she sat atop her bed beside a half dozen stuffed animals and a fat brown cat named Charlie. "Why?" Tyshawn repeated, between bites of the granola bar. Ava didn't know what to say. She also didn't want her friend to know the truth, both because it pained her to discuss it and because she dreaded what he might think of her if he knew. For 7 seconds, she didn't answer.
"I don't know, just," she said,
then stopped and changed the subject. Ava had first heard about Tyshawn nearly a year earlier, when she walked into her living room and noticed her mother, Mary, crying on the couch.
"Why are you upset?" asked Ava,
who suspected that, yet again, she was why. "No," Mary assured the girl. "It wasn't her fault." Her mother explained that she had just read a story I'd written for the Washington Post about a child named Tyshawn, who was a lot like Ava. The boy also felt angry and confused and unhappy sometimes, because he too had lost someone he loved.
"His dad is where Jacob is," Mary said,
and Ava understood. Mary hadn't let her read my story, but she showed her daughter pictures of Tyshawn, posing next to his dad and flashing the deuces sign in a family photo, playing with a toy, alone on his father's couch, staring out a window, his dark eyes empty. The boy looked like he needed a friend, Ava announced, so she got a pencil and a sheet of paper and sat down at her kitchen table.
"Dear Tyshawn," she began to write in neat block letters.
Before their lives came apart, the two kids had little in common other than their ages. Ava, who was white, was a Daisy Scout and wanted nothing more than to become a cheerleader. Day after day, she practiced cartwheels in the dirt and grass behind her home, which overlooked a neighbor's bucolic horse farm. She had lived almost all her life in Townville, a quiet, 4,000-person swath of countryside in the northwest corner of South Carolina, known as the Upstate. Her dad had always worked in security or law enforcement, and he had always carried a gun, which she'd never thought much about, if at all. In a community with a single stoplight, at least 6 churches, and an abundance of backyard shooting ranges, most people believed in God and, just slightly less, in their right to bear arms. Townville sat on the eastern edge of a county in which 7 in 10 voters supported Donald Trump in 2016. Gable-roofed chicken houses stood among cow pastures and rolling fields of hay, wheat, corn, and soybeans, and everyone shopped at Dollar General, nicknamed the Townville Target. It was a world that, in Ava's mind, had always been safe and always would be.